This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne in for Bob Edwards. North Korea is taking steps to resume its nuclear weapons program. Experts warn that North Korea could reprocess enough plutonium over the next few months to make 5 or 6 nuclear bombs. The Bush administration refuses to negotiate directly with Pyongyang to try to stop this process. Many in the administration are opposed to the 1994 agreement to stop North Korea's nuclear program. Some experts say that inflexible stance is worsening the crisis. NPR's Mike Schuster reports.
Since October, when North Korea burst unpleasantly on the Bush administration's radar, the United States has refused to talk to North Korea. North Korea has steadily increased the pressure, moving nuclear fuel into a mothballed reactor, dismantling sensors and video cameras from sensitive facilities, and just a few days ago ordering inspectors from the International Atomic Energy Agency out of the country. All the while, North Korea has said all security issues are up for discussion if the United States would agree to talk. The Bush administration says no, and things just keep getting worse, says Leonard Spector of the Monterey Institute's Center for Nonproliferation Studies.
I won't say that the United States necessarily precipitated the crisis, but certainly the hawkish stance taken by the administration since it took office really contributed to this whole situation, and there was another path they could have taken which clearly would have avoided it.
Spector says the Bush administration should have earlier and should now engage the North Koreans. But Secretary of State Powell, speaking on ABC last weekend, made it clear the administration won't do that.
They want a negotiation where we give them something for them to stop the bad behavior. They want to be rewarded for violating the agreed framework and also violating the understanding we had that they would not be developing any kind of nuclear weapons. And what we can't do is enter into a negotiation right away where we are appeasing them for bad behavior.
The agreed framework is the 1994 understanding between North Korea and the Clinton administration. North Korea agreed to stop pursuing nuclear weapons if the U.S. arranged to build 2 nuclear energy plants, provide regular deliveries of fuel oil, and move toward normalizing relations and eliminating economic sanctions that have been in place since the Korean War a half century ago. North Korea took all the initial steps necessary to freeze its nuclear weapons program. But when Republicans seized control of Congress in 1994, many were hostile to what the Clinton administration had agreed to do. The Clinton administration then shifted its attention to other more pressing foreign policy problems, such as Bosnia and Russia.
For a number of these reasons, implementation on our side was delayed, it was slow, it was episodic.
Mitchell Reese was senior policy advisor for the Korea Energy Development Organization, tasked with building the nuclear power plants in North Korea. By 1997, little work had been accomplished, and it appears more important for the North Koreans, there had been no progress on the political and economic fronts, says Leon Siegel, who has studied the history of U.S. negotiations with North Korea.
If you think about what the agreed framework says, from the North Korean vantage point, and indeed with the language, we're going to ease sanctions, meaning we won't impede their economic development. Second, and above all, we will normalize relations, meaning we won't be their enemy. And third, we will respect their sovereignty, meaning we won't attempt to overthrow their government.
Siegel believes that the North Koreans began secret work on a uranium enrichment program about this time as a hedge against Washington's reluctance to fulfill its end of the bargain. Mitchell Reese isn't so sure.
It's unclear that the North Koreans were responding at this point to a lack of implementation on the part of the United States and South Korea. Yes, the implementation was perhaps not everything it should have been on our part, but the remedy for that is not to start a uranium enrichment program.
It is that uranium enrichment program that sparked the latest crisis. The Bush administration says it learned last summer of the program. A senior U.S. diplomat disclosed the evidence during a meeting in Pyongyang last October. Since then, the Bush administration has refused to talk further until North Korea ends that program. But the Clinton administration knew of other nuclear activities in North Korea at least 2 years ago, according to Ashton Carter. Carter was part of the special presidential team headed by former Defense Secretary William Perry that went to Pyongyang in 2000 to review U.S. policy toward North Korea.
Yes, there was other information throughout that period, spotty information as intelligence tends to be, but information that suggested that North Korea continued to entertain the aspiration to have nuclear weapons, or at least have the option to have nuclear weapons in the future. And we were never fooled into thinking that North Korea had renounced weapons of mass destruction.
That policy review led to a number of important diplomatic steps in the last year of the Clinton administration, including a visit to Washington of North Korea's number two man and a visit to Pyongyang by then-Secretary of State Madeleine Albright. North Korea also agreed to a moratorium on its production, testing, and export of ballistic missiles. The two countries issued a communique in late 2000 that neither government would have hostile intent toward the other, an important commitment for North Korea, says Mitchell Reese.
It was getting what it desires most, which was attention from the United States, hopefully leading to some type of security guarantee so that they would not be threatened, they felt, by the U.S.
When the Bush administration took office, it too embarked on a policy review. After some contradictory signals, Secretary of State Powell announced the administration was willing to talk to North Korea and build on the Clinton administration's accomplishments. But then came the attacks of September 11th, and last January, President Bush included North Korea on his list of nations comprising the Axis of Evil.
By seeking weapons of mass destruction, these regimes pose a grave and growing danger. They could provide these arms to terrorists, giving them the means to match their hatred. They could attack our allies or attempt to blackmail the United States. In any of these cases, the price of indifference would be catastrophic.
Seen from North Korea, says Leon Siegel, President Bush's words, along with U.S. talk of preemptive military action, was perceived as a concrete threat.
He is repudiating the October 12th United States commitment to North Korea that we have no hostile intent.
Now the Bush administration, in the voice of Secretary of State Powell, is trying to ease the growing tensions with North Korea.
I don't want to create a sense of crisis or that we're on the brink of war, because I don't believe we are.
That's all well and good, especially in light of the Bush administration's focus on Iraq, say many experts. But the administration has left the impression that it can tolerate North Korea's acquisition of several nuclear weapons over the next few months. Ashton Carter argues that is a great danger.
If North Korea gets nuclear weapons, then deterrence on the Korean Peninsula, deterrence of war, will possibly be weakened. Deterrence is strong today, but if North Korea gets the idea that somehow by having nuclear weapons they can scare us away from defending South Korea, they'll be making a misjudgment, but they'll also be making war more likely.
Former Assistant Secretary of Defense Kurt Campbell says there are additional reasons to oppose North Korea's acquisition of nuclear weapons.
As soon as North Korea starts to build up a significant nuclear arsenal, then other countries would start to question their own non-nuclear stances and reconsider. And that also is very much not in U.S. national security interest.
Among those other countries are South Korea, Japan, and Taiwan. There are also fears that North Korea could sell nuclear materials or completed warheads. Ashton Carter argues that the Bush administration must take an unambiguous stand against what North Korea is doing now in direct talks with Pyongyang.
We can't allow North Korea to go nuclear. That needs to be communicated to North Korea. And simply saying we're not going to talk to you or we're going to have our allies talk to you doesn't convey the gravity of that message. You need to speak very clearly and very loudly to the North Koreans, particularly in a matter which touches your gravest national security interests. So a posture of nonchalance sends exactly the wrong message.
During the 1990s, the Clinton administration made it clear if North Korea continued to pursue nuclear weapons, it would attack its nuclear facilities and risk a North Korean invasion of South Korea. The Bush administration has declined to reiterate that threat. Thus, without direct talks and with little other pressure on North Korea, many experts fear, North Korea gets closer to acquiring more nuclear weapons every day. Mike Schuster, NPR News, Los Angeles.